here. Pastor was talking about a little Eddie Munt. I look around, we have 11 little guys in this church, little ones. I was telling you now, parents, grandparents, the actions that we say and do, and the things that we, whether we put down the church, whether we talk bad about the people in the church, all this stuff is going to play a role in the future of this church that's sitting next to you. You see, these little guys here are going to grow up one day, and they're going to look at church by the way you present it to them. Either you're going to live it or you're going to leave it alone. There's so many people out here, and all the churches saying how much they're just saved. They're Christians. They do the right thing, and they go home and they forget everything they ever learned in church, and they leave it right here at church. They don't even bring it home with them. You're confusing that child.
Hello.
You're confusing that child. Leave that. Listen, and I'm not just talking about a little child. I'm talking about teenagers as well. Live the Christian life if you're going to pretend it. Might as well go ahead and live it. Because you're ruining the future of these kids. I'm guilty of that. I asked my wife, I had a good talk with my wife. I don't know, maybe it was this morning or last night. And I had a good talk with my wife just to remind me, hey, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? Is there something I'm missing here? I need to know if I'm missing something here. I need to know that as a father. You're my wife. You can see it sometimes better than me. Is there something I'm missing here? Because God forbid if I ever want to tank any of my kids about what real Christianity is. I don't want them knowing this fake garbage that people are living out there. I want my kids to live a real Christian life. Teens, we had this morning, we talked about the youth. From the youth, here's what Job said. I believe it was in the book of Job. It said that that evil is in his bones from his youth. Since his youth, he's had evil. Now it's buried so deep into his bones, it says that he's going to bring that to the dust with him. Pastor talked about that earlier. That sometimes there's just sin in your life. My wife doesn't know all my sins that I committed, and she don't have to.
Amen.
That's something I'm going to bring to the grave with me. That's in my bones. That's going to return to the dust with me. And that's what Job's thinking of. But he says the youth, from the youth, the evil of the youth. I think we're missing the point here. We just think that it's adults that are guilty. We're forgetting about the youth. We're forgetting about the teens. We're forgetting about the little ones. Do we not understand that whatever we do around our children, they see that? And they're going to judge that one day, whether it's true or false. Whether they want this life or not want this life because of what we do. You can sit there and cram this Bible down their throat all day long. And it's not going to do a thing to them because they're going to see you and go, yeah, that's a hypocrite. I don't want that. I don't want that. That's what these kids are going to see. And God forbid. Man, listen, I already ruined enough lives. I already did enough of that life ruining stuff. I don't want to do it no more. This thing for here, I'm real about this. This is real to me and my wife. This is real to me and my family. I enjoy it. When he started talking about little Eddie Munn, I said, God, that poor kid, man. We don't have to have that to our children. We are lucky today. We are lucky. We have them next to us, man. We have them in our room. We have the teens, the little guys. We have them here. We can stop all that. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. What do we want? You know, you got to get your heart right with God. I mean, I'm going to be back in Proverbs 14 again. I think this is my third or fourth week, but I'm going to be in Proverbs again. I think it's five verses that I've been preaching on the last few weeks. Five verses, and there's all this stuff in five verses. What do you think is in the Bible? I'm only preaching five verses. How much more do you think is in the Bible then? There's a lot. If I go to one chapter, which is chapter 14 of Proverbs, and read five verses just of that chapter, how much more do you think is in the Bible? Well, you're not going to know if you're not in it. This is a whole treasure trove. I'm telling you now. There's a lot in that. I mean, a lot. Pastor preached on that. Just the whole thing of, you know, growing and being with the Word of God and, you know, desiring that thing. I'll tell you now, that's something that comes with salvation that you don't have to work at. I don't have to work at desiring the Word. It just is natural for me now. Since salvation, that I want to be in the Word, that I want to read the Word, that I pray, that I come to church. That's not all. I don't have to force that on myself. You know, in April of 2 years ago in April, my wife got saved. I have not had to force her to read. I have not had to force her to pray. I have not had to force her to come to church. She does this willingly. It's in her heart now. That's something that she got for salvation. She doesn't have to. We got. We both looked at each other this morning, and my mom can vouch for this. On the way to church, I said, "Thank God it's Sunday." My mom looked at me because we're going to church.
Amen.
Thank God it's Sunday. I'm going to church. And he goes, "Yep, we love being here, and I love being. I mean that with all my heart." Did we not say that on the way here? Thank God it's Sunday. We're going to church, man. We're going to get picked up again. We're going to get back up. We'll get back on track, and we're going to head out there for another few days. So we come back here on Wednesday. I get energized here on Sundays. I do. I love it. Sick, hurt, it don't matter to me. I like being here. But Proverbs 14, we're going to be in verse 13 this time. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. I'm going to read something here that I wrote down. So part of my testimony, but I wanted to write it down. That it just God put it on my heart, and I want to say it this way. So I wrote it down. So I'm going to share with this. I once used to say that I could stand in a crowded room and be the loneliest person in that room. I could put a smile on my face, and you would think that I'm happy, and inside I'm tore up and depressed. I'm not sharing the joy with you anymore. I'm just as separate from you. There could be a million people in that room. I'm just as lonely as could be. How many of you guys know that? You know that feeling in this room. That's what I like about this church. You know why? Because we all share the same. We've been there. We know what that feeling's like. I used to want to say I could stay in a crowded room and be the loneliest person in that room. I could smile and talk and be a million miles away. Empty. Something always missing that drugs, alcohol, sex, money, and violence could never, ever fill. Ever. I stand here today to tell you, like I told my teens this morning, I was somebody who was delivered out of this world. I was not brought into a Christian home. I wasn't brought up as a preacher's child. I was taken out of the world. God saved me from the gutters, and He put me in this lifestyle. Why do you think I warn you about this stuff? Because all that garbage, all that violence and drugs and sex and all that won't fill the emptiness in your heart that only Jesus can. I promise you that. That I stand up here to test you today, that I'm telling you there's nothing that's going to fill that void in your life except for Jesus Christ and His blood, and He'll give you a new life for you and your children. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. It's not a joke, it's a reality. If you don't want it, then go ahead and walk away from Him. But if you want to give Him a chance, even if you think you might want to give Him a chance, then you go ahead and stay here. Listen to the preacher. Get in the Word. I guarantee He'll do something in your life. Listen. God's not a liar. We all know that. God's almighty, all-powerful. And His Word is saying, will not return void. You sit under this preaching long enough, you sit under the Word of God long enough, something's going to happen in your life. Something is going to happen, good or bad, something is going to happen. I used to be empty. Something always was missing. Drugs, alcohol, sex, money, and violence could never fill. A void which can never be filled with anything that I've ever done. Made me even more bitter than the bitterness and anger I already held on to. That was a heaviness that weighed me down for years. A heaviness. I mean, I had bitterness upon bitterness upon bitterness. I mean, it was just a miserable existence for me. I didn't have a good time in doing the things that I did. I didn't have a good time living in the world. I've been rinsing my mouth with alcohol. I've been having a bad toothache, but I'm going to have surgery so they won't touch my tooth. And all that. I'm gargling salt water past. And guess what? It reminded me of beer. I almost puked. And he goes, "Mom, how much alcohol did I used to carry in my back pockets with me? I used to carry around 40 ounces of Old English in one pocket and Jack Daniels in my other pocket."
His pants were almost on the ground.
That's what I did every single day. Now you know what? I gargled salt water, remind me of beer, and almost puked.
Yeah.
That was only deliver. It shouldn't tell you how many rehabs and that I've been to and couldn't get off of alcohol. That's a miracle.
Yeah, we went to rehab.
Miracle.
Meetings.
A miracle. A miracle that I don't stand up here drinking tonight. It's a miracle that I'm not doing drugs. It's a miracle that I'm not beating my wife and kids. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I have a new life. Listen, it took a miracle to take somebody like me to transform me. It couldn't have just been a book. It could have been just some fable that people were telling me about. It had to be something that was real. There's something there behind it, man. There's some reality here. This is not a fantasy I'm living in. If you think I'm living a fantasy, then I'm sorry. You're sadly mistaken. You will be burning in hell one day if you're not saved. And I'm sorry to have to see you do that. I'm sorry to have to look on somebody ever to have to be like that. Because God died for all. There's not one person in this world He says no to right now. We're the ones that say no to Him. We're the ones that won't let Him show us what He needs to show us. He showed me some very sick things about me. If you're not ready to face those, you won't be saved.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that. God needs to show you what He needs to show you one time and it's over with. Done. Salvation is the easiest thing I ever went through in my life. It was the point of getting me there. The point for me to really say, okay, I'm ready now. I mean, it can happen like this. But you know, I'm prideful. I had to fight everything in my entire life in the beginning. Or to begin with, why wouldn't I fight salvation? But you know what I hold on to today? Something that's just as sure that I'm going to take the next breath. That I'm standing right here today. That's what my salvation has brought me. I don't have to worry about where I'm going. Why did I just take that in the office? I know where I'm going. I know if I didn't wake up from surgery hopefully next week, I know where I'll be. I'll be in heaven. I'll be at the foot of Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving somebody like me. Somebody who didn't deserve this. I mean, God is good. Jesus made it clear to me, no longer do I have to hold on to this weight. That He could make me free and take all the weight off of me. John 8. Let's go to John 8. John 8. Hey, nothing like being free in Jesus. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing. People say, well, that's just a play of words. That's fine with you, but how come I'm free then? What stopped me from doing what I did? Wasn't me, because I'd still be out there doing it today. I'm only 42 years old. I'm not an old dude. I can still go out there and hang out with them young people, man. If my life didn't change, you don't think I'd be out there with them young people? Matter of fact, I'd probably be in prison or dead. That's where I'd be. But I'll tell you what, just because I'm 42 years old doesn't stop me from doing nothing. I had to change your heart. That's what stopped me. Not because the pastor. Matter of fact, I talked to the pastor maybe once, twice a week. He has no. He has influence on my life, but he doesn't influence my life where I have to do this and I have to do that, or he's on top of me making me do this. No, I do that on my own because of the Word of God, because of praying and reading, because of listening to the preaching. I do it because it's a reality in my life. I don't just leave this stuff here. I bring it home with me. This is not something that I just practice here. I do this at home. And I love my heroes. I have a bunch of heroes that are men of God. I love them. I love being around them. Big Bay. I mean, what a good time. Just me and him joking, you know, we went out for pizza. And I mean, just having a good time with men like that. I would never in a million years think that I'd ever be friends with people like that. And then you guys, I have a good time here with you guys. I do. I understand I can see by your faces on Sundays that some people are having a hard day and this and that. You know why? Because I go through hard days. I have bad times. I'm a human being. See, that hurts. Yeah, I'm not Superman. You can shoot me and make me bleed and everything else. I'm a human being. But I just tell you, this thing is real. This thing is, I have love for each and every. I don't have anything against anybody in this room. Nobody. And I can say with all my heart that I love every one of you guys. Hey, you know why? Because you're all special. You think you're all special to me. What about the one who died for you? I wouldn't die for you. Maybe my family I would. But I'll tell you now, Jesus died for every single person sitting in this room. And the one He didn't. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said, those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, I know He was talking to His disciples here, but I am one of His disciples now. I learn from Him. I get His word. Listen to me. I'm just telling you this right now. You want to be free? You want to show that you're a disciple? What's it say? Let's see what the first thing says. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word. Numero uno, you need to be in His Word.
Amen.
You have to be. You cannot go out there and face this thing on your own. Your life shows that you already. Look at the slime, like Pastor says about that snail. He doesn't know he's leaving all that slime out. Just go ahead and turn around and look at what your life has done without the Word of God. And tell me you don't need the Word of God? You just go ahead and tell me you don't need the Word, but go ahead and look at your life already. What has it done for you? Job 33:27 makes that clear. You need to know. And know that you're a sinner. Number two, you need to know that you perverted all that which is right. And number three, you just need to know that it has done you no good. Done you no good. You need to be in His Word. Then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My God has made Dale Morey free. I am free, free, free. My mom goes, well, Pastor, what about his pain and suffering? suffering. She doesn't understand, yes, it's pain and suffering and I hurt, but I'm free. I'm okay with the pain and suffering. I'm free in Jesus. I don't have the pain and suffering with drugs and alcohol and abuse and my kids being abused, my wife being abused, my mother being abused. There's none of that stuff going on. I'm free from all that garbage. I'm free from all of it. No longer am I held accountable for what I've done. That's gone. It's history. Now I have to pay some prices for the things that I've done, but I'm okay with that. Listen, as God is my witness, I'm going to say I'm okay with that. Because I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my family. And when I go to heaven, I'm going to heaven for good. For eternity, I will live as long as God lives. Okay? You know what? That's what I told the teens this morning. Listen, I'm just trying to wave. I'm just trying to wave a red flag. I'm telling you, man, the world isn't worth it. Living for this world, doing the things they do, and trying to corrupt your minds with it ain't worth it. So I've been made free. I've been made free, and not only was going to make me free, but it's going to lift the heavy burdens that I've been carrying with me for way too long. Matthew 11. Burdens. Tell me who's not burdened here tonight. You could be a saved person, but I'm just letting you know now. There's nothing like having a burden unsaved than a burden saved.
Amen.
I have burdens that I'm a saved person, but I'm going to tell you now, I got somebody with me in it. I'm not in this thing alone anymore. Yeah, you go, you got your wife, but I have more than my wife. But if my wife wasn't saved, it'd be a hard burden anyway. My wife is saved, so yes, it does. But I'm just telling you, I got Jesus next to me. I have Him walking with me. I have Him teaching me. I have Him showing me. That's who. Who would you want in the trenches with you? Me or Jesus? Honestly. I tell you who I want. Jesus. I want Him in those trenches with me when I'm going them burdens. When I'm having them hard times. That's who I want with me. He's the one that's going to get me through it. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That labor is just not work. Some of your labor is just sin. Some of you labor every single day to do everything wrong that you possibly could. Some of you labor and labor and labor in your own pride. You just want to give it up. No, I don't. You want to give it up. No, I don't. Yeah, we give it up. You're just laboring. It's getting tired. Some of you are single mothers and you're laboring. Because it's labor to take care of children by yourself. There's supposed to be a man by your side. Obviously, some of them are cowards. Most of them are cowards. Here was the number one coward. God healed that. That's a whole different ballpark game on that. I could preach a whole different message on cowards now walking out of our kids. Do you think that was always my conviction? No. I told you the story of my kids looking out the window and I would wave goodbye to them and never seen them for years and years and years. But it just didn't bother my heart. That's what society has come to. These men don't care about their kids. There's another one I just read on the news. A guy shook his kid so bad it killed him in Amherst. Killed a 3-month-old, 3-year-old, whatever.
3-year-old.
Another one. God forbid, I wish they would never be born to have to go through something like that. But, you know, it's also a blessing because that child's in heaven right now with Jesus. I mean, Jesus is loving on that baby like their parents could never do. But men, they call themselves a man. He's going to get shown some manhood, I tell you that. I promise you, he'll get shown manhood. Yeah, them seals, as soon as he walks up on the floor, I'm telling you how it goes, man. Or at least he used to. They come up on the floor, the seal's going to let everybody know, listen, it's a child molester. Or this is a child murderer. I'm going to give you one shot. Do you want to pack up or do you want to stay on the floor? I'll stay here. Okay, you're a tough guy. That night in the shower, you better guarantee it. Somebody's getting it. The CEO would say, just don't kill him. Then when they write the report up, all they say is, hell, he fell in the shower. I mean, plain and simple, that's how it goes, man. Them people don't have a good time. I'm telling you, they don't have a good time. He's going to see how much of a man he really is. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's nothing like the rest of resting in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like the rest that Jesus comes and cleans that conscience, man. You could just sleep at night not knowing that everything's going to be okay. There's a rest that is second to none. And yet, don't you have a new rest now? I know you have a hard time sleeping because of your medical conditions or whatever. But there's a rest in your soul now that you've never known in your entire life. Now, she has a rest. You know what she has a rest to? She has She said it last night to me again. She goes, I have a husband that holds me at night.
Amen.
She's not out there alone. And I'm not saying nothing against you, you girls that are single mothers. You know I don't say nothing against you guys. I'd rather beat the guys up that, you know, want to be idiots about the whole thing. But that's healing that God... This is something that God had to heal, or me and Amy wouldn't be here. My wife used to pray that I would be dead. And, you know, she really didn't... You know why she did that? Because she didn't want to leave me, but she didn't want the abuse. So she would just pray, God, please kill him. Because she couldn't leave. She didn't want to leave me because she loved me. But she didn't want to be abused. You see, God had to fix that. God had to fix that. And I'm not saying it's 100% perfect, because it's not. But I tell you, my wife trusts me more now than ever. I trust her more than I ever did. And I never trusted a woman. Pastor knows that. He knows the whole stories about that garbage. He says, come unto me, and all you labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here we go. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Didn't we just hear something about being in the Bible? Well, how can you learn of him if you're not reading the Word? How can you learn? How can you learn of Jesus Christ if you're not sitting in the pews when it's supposed to be? People are like, well, yeah, I go sometimes on, you know. No, you need to be here all the time. Listen, even if it's extra. What's the woman coming in the house of God, even if it's extra? Is it going to hurt you? Is it going to bother you that much to have to sit another hour? Because you're going to hear somebody preaching? It never killed me and my wife and my kids. They made it just fine. Look at they look just fine, I think. I think we're all right. I understand about the older folks that have to leave. And I'm just saying, we have church here on Sundays. We have church here on Wednesdays. Thursday's not mandatory, but why not? When we have extra preachers in here, why not? What does it hurt? You complain about, you know, maybe you'll get your life straight there. There's nothing wrong. And I understand people who work, you can't make it, and that's fine. I'm not saying nothing against people who work. But if you're not working and you got nothing to do but click your TV on, sit there instead of being in the house of God, why not? It's not going to hurt you. Pastor says those people who came on Thursdays have just had a changed life. And I agree. I agree. That's an awesome Bible study. You can come dressed the way you want. I mean, you ain't got to be in suit and ties and all that if you don't want. If you want to, go ahead. It's just a relaxed environment. You can ask questions. Man, it's just... Well, why not? I think that whole area in there should be filled with people. It's a good time. It's good learning in there. So, let me get on to the next one. Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Let me turn to this. Oh, man, how did I get... Golly, I got a mess up here. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Nothing less than a miracle took place within me at salvation. I was finally free of the weight and sin. The anger and the bitterness. Now, listen, this is something that God gave me. And I want you to think about what I'm about to say here. I was finally free from the weight of sin and anger and bitterness. They were gone, not suppressed. Gone. God's not, when God's going to do something, He's going to take it out of your life. He's not going to just suppress it for a little while. When it goes, it's going to go for good. God didn't just suppress my anger. If He just suppressed my anger, then my family was still in trouble. He took that from me. God just didn't suppress my alcohol consumption. He took that from me. He didn't just say, you're going to stop for a little bit. Well, God took the sins of my past, everything that I've done, He didn't just suppress those. He took them from me. You know what says He done? He cast them behind His back. Thank God He cast them behind me. I wish people could cast some of my sins behind their back. They can't forget. But God forgave me for those sins. He cast them behind His back. I don't have to deal with them no more. They're gone. He didn't suppress them. They're gone. The best pillow to sleep at night is a clear and free conscience. No longer was I alone in a crowded room or in prison, even in the free world. I have been free from sin and death, and Jesus filled that great void that was in my heart. I no longer walk alone, but I walk with Jesus. That void that I was saying in the beginning, I don't have that void anymore. It's filled. It's overflowing, matter of fact. I think it was Arnold saying, why is he talking about his cup overflowing? They didn't understand about that. I'll just drink from the saucer, Lord, because my cup is overflowing. She didn't understand that. So Amy explained to her, it's because he's so blessed that he doesn't need to drink from the cup. His saucer is full. That's me. My saucer is full. I don't need to drink from the cup because I have enough that's overflowing. I have so many blessings to certain people. My life and what I have going on in my life may not be anything to you. But to me, I never in my life thought I'd have what I have. And I'm not talking about just physical stuff. I do have nice physical stuff because God blessed me with it. You don't have to think it's nice. I think it's nice. But if I didn't give my life over to the Lord, I wouldn't have my wife and two kids. I wouldn't have salvation going to heaven. I wouldn't have the family that I have. I wouldn't have my mother sitting in the pew over here listening to the preaching. Whoever would have thought her son Dale Moyer would be up here preaching? Ever. Ever. I wouldn't have this church to come to, my church family, who I love dearly. I love all you guys. These are the things that I wouldn't have. What are you holding on to that is so important that you need to hold on to in this world? What is it? What is it that you just have to let go? It really is that simple. It really is as simple as saying, you know what? God, I finally see it. I mean, Pastor and other people used to tell me, well, I mean, God, it's really not that hard. The hardest thing is you letting go. And I just couldn't understand that. It just didn't make sense to me. Now it makes sense to me, and here I am telling you guys that, and you looking at me like it don't make sense. Because you're right, it doesn't make sense to you. But I'm telling you, after you get saved, it makes sense. You're like, wow, that was pretty simple. I got one more thing to say, and then I'll be done. I have to write things down. My memory just isn't what it used to be. And I'm not even that old, so I can't imagine. Yes, man. But I'm telling you, buddy. Oh, here it is. Here we go. Salvation was not made up for man, but formed from the love of God. A love that is despised and hated in America, but still with open arms, our Savior and Creator waits. Man didn't make up salvation. Salvation came from the love of God. I'm just going to tell you up here tonight that not a man and not a woman, not my mother, not my family could have never done to my heart what Jesus has done in my heart. I guess I sit here today, what I'm burdened over is some people may question, is this thing real? And I'm telling you it's real. Because I live this is real. I'm telling you because nobody changed. My mother used to beg me in tears for me to change my life. And it did not work. Doctors told me I needed to change my lifestyle because I was going to die from cirrhosis. It did not work. Rehab people tell me, listen, you're tearing your body up. And it did not work. I had kids. 3 kids out of wedlock that are out there on their own with their mothers. Married, divorced, all that stuff. It did not work. It did not work. The threat of me losing my kids, divorcing, dying, none of that changed my heart. But I'm telling you what God formulated in salvation, what He made out of His love. See, God didn't just save me and forget my sins. He forgave me and put love in my heart like I never had.
Amen.
He put something inside of me that I never thought possible. And you know what has nothing to do with this world? It's not a worldly love. It's not something you will understand unless you're saved. And I'm telling you that today. There's a love you will not understand until you are saved. There's a special love God has for those who are His. He loves everybody. Don't get me wrong. Please don't quote me by saying He loves me more than you. No. But there's a special love for those who He's saved. There's even a more special love for those who aren't saved if you think about it. Because He did die for everybody. He didn't just die for me, but I'm telling you now. You'll never fill that void in your heart ever. Ever with anything of this world. I promise you. You want to fill that void in your heart? You want to fill that void in your life? Then go ahead and get right with God. Get saved. Get saved. It will, and I guarantee it will work. He promises you that. God, you think God promises you this stuff just to what? Make you look good? No. I don't look any better since I got saved. I am who I am. God made me who I am. This is Dale Morey. But God, you know, He loved me enough to die for me. He loved me enough to give up His life that I won't have to pay for the debt. My own debt. My own sin debt that I could never repay. Ever. In a million years could I ever repay for anything that I've done. Not even for one day of what I used to do. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if God just required one day of your sins? Mm-hmm. One day? And He says, I'm going to take them all. I believe it was in the book Isaiah or Ezekiel, one of the two, I read it. He says, I'm going to take them sins and cast them behind my back.
Yeah, amen.
Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. I'm done, Pastor.